Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 37. City of God, how broad and far outspread thy walls sublime. The true thy chartered freemen are of every age and clime. Hymn number 37. The scriptural this morning will be given by Carol from New Jersey.
Second Corinthians. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 206. O God, our Father, Mother, love, purge thou our hearts from sin, that in thy radiancy divine we may, with eyes undimmed, define thy will, reality. Hymn number 206.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. This is our Sunday morning service, March 26th, 2017. And we're glad you're all here. We begin each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is a training session in Christian Science for those who are serious about learning who and what God is and what He does for man. We also have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. Also on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children, which is available via teleconference. So even if you don't live in the area, call us and we'll give you the number, and your child will be most welcome. And for all of our services, we have a nursery for infants and toddlers. And you can find us here not only in Plainfield, New Jersey, but on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can find us on YouTube, where we have over 2,000 videos on our channel. And you can find us on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can listen to all of our services either on our YouTube or on our website on YouTube or from your telephone via the teleconference number we provide. Featured on the cover page of our website is a very instructive article by Doris White Evans entitled "Burdened Thought." So if you are feeling burdened, overweight, or feeling the weight of the world, I recommend this article. Very instructive. And I think we're still waiting for someone to sign up to lead the Bible study session for next Saturday. So check the website to see if someone steps up. We would love to have another Bible study class next Saturday. Everyone is welcome here, including all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We will now have the reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled "Fruitage in Science and Health," which attests to the healing power obtained from reading the Christian Science textbook. And that reading this morning will be given by Shahidat from Maryland.
On page 684, a convincing testimony. I became interested in Christian Science some 5 years ago. The practical nature of its statements appealing to me, and I must say at the outset that with my little experience, I have found it all and more than I had ever dreamed of realizing on this plane of existence. I am satisfied that I have found truth. God is indeed to me an ever-present help. My little girl, some 10 months old, was afflicted with constipation. It was so severe I dreaded to go out anywhere with her, as I knew not when she would be taken for convulsion. I had tried all the usual remedies in such cases, but it seemed to grow more obstinate. There was a Christian scientist living in the same house with us, a scientist who let her light shine, and while she said little, I felt the reflection of love. I had no knowledge of the teachings of Christian Science, save that God was a physician at all times. In my own way, I believed He was all-powerful, and I said to my husband one day, "I am through with medicine for baby. I am just going to leave her in God's care and see what He will do. I have done all I can. I did as I said, laid my burden at God's feet and did not pick it up again. In 2 days, the child was perfectly natural and has since been free from the trouble. She is now 6 years of age. Some months later, a second test came. She awoke at 9 o'clock at night, crying and holding her ear. There was to sense a gathering. I was alone. I took up my science and health and Bible, but the more I worked, the louder she screamed. Eric kept suggesting material remedies, but I said firmly, no, I shall not go back to error. God will help me. Just then I thought of my own fear, how excessive it was, and a conversation I had with the scientist who first voiced the truth to me came to mind. She said she always found it helpful to treat herself and cast out her own fear before treating a patient. I put baby down and again took up my science and health, and these were the words I read. Every trial of our faith in God makes us stronger. The more difficult seems the material condition to be overcome by spirit, the stronger should be our faith and the purer our love. The Apostle John says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, from Science and Health, page 410. I looked up. The crying had ceased. The child was smiling, and a few minutes after he put to bed. There has been no further trouble of that kind. I have since seen the power of truth overcome error of many forms, including croup, whooping cough, tonsillitis, etc. I am thankful for all these proofs, but far more grateful am I for the spiritual teaching to love, to forgive, to curb my tongue, and cease my criticism. From M.A.H. Brockton, Massachusetts.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 26 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, reality. The golden text is from Psalms. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. The responsive reading is from Isaiah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold,
my servants shall sing for joy of heart.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind.
But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy.
And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying.
They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands.
They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them.
The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord.
Lillian from New Jersey will read from the Bible.
Psalms. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great King. As we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. 2 Peter. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning this, his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are within shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Spirit and its formations are the only realities of being. When we learn the way in Christian Science and recognize man's spiritual being, we shall behold and understand God's creation, all the glories of earth and heaven and man. New Jerusalem. Divine Science, the spiritual facts and harmony of the universe, the kingdom of heaven, or reign of harmony. The Revelator tells us of a new heaven and a new earth. Have you ever pictured this heaven and earth, inhabited by beings under the control of supreme wisdom? To reach heaven, the harmony of being, we must understand the divine principle of being. Revelation 12:1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Heaven represents harmony, and divine science interprets the principle of heavenly harmony. The great miracle to human sense is divine love, and the grand necessity of existence is to gain the true idea of what constitutes the kingdom of heaven in man. This goal is never reached while we hate our neighbor or entertain a false estimate of anyone whom God has appointed to voice his word. Again, without a correct sense of its highest visible idea, we can never understand the divine principle. Ignorance of the divine idea betrays at once a greater ignorance of the divine principle of the idea, ignorance of truth and love. The understanding of truth and love, the principle which works out the ends of eternal good and destroys both faith in evil and the practice of evil, leads to the discernment of the divine idea. In divine revelation, material and corporeal selfhood disappear, and the spiritual idea is understood. The woman in the apocalypse symbolizes generic man, the spiritual idea of God. She illustrates the coincidence of God and man as the divine principle and divine idea. The Revelator symbolizes spirit by the sun. The spiritual idea is clad with the radiance of spiritual truth, and matter is put under her feet. The light portrayed is really neither solar nor lunar, but spiritual life, which is the light of men. Revelation 12:3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Human sense may well marvel at discord, while to a diviner sense, harmony is the real and discord the unreal. We may well be astonished at sin, sickness, and death. We may well be perplexed at human fear, and still more astounded at hatred, which lifts its hydra head, showing its horns in the many inventions of evil. But why should we stand aghast at nothingness? The great red dragon symbolizes a lie, the belief that substance, life, and intelligence can be material. This dragon stands for the sum total of human error. The 10 horns of the dragon typify the belief that matter has power of its own, and that by means of an evil mind in matter, the 10 commandments can be broken. The Revelator lifts the veil from this embodiment of all evil and beholds its awful character. But he also sees the nothingness of evil and the allness of God. Through trope and metaphor, the Revelator, immortal scribe of spirit, and of a true idealism, furnishes the mirror in which mortals may see their own image. In significant figures, he depicts the thoughts which he beholds in mortal mind. Thus, he rebukes the conceit of sin and foreshadows its doom. With his spiritual strength, he has opened wide the gates of glory and illumined the night of paganism with the sublime grandeur of divine science, outshining sin, sorcery, lust, and hypocrisy. He takes away mitre and scepter. He enthrones pure and undefiled religion and lifts on high only those who have washed their robes white in obedience and suffering. In Revelation 21:1, we read, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The Revelator had not yet passed the transitional stage in human experience called death, but he already saw a new heaven and a new earth. Through what sense came this vision to St. John? Not through the material visual organs for seeing, for optics are inadequate to take in so wonderful a scene. Were this new heaven and new earth terrestrial or celestial, material or spiritual? They could not be the former, for the human sense of space is unable to grasp such a view. The Revelator was on our plane of existence, while yet beholding what the eye cannot see, that which is invisible to the uninspired thought. This testimony of Holy Writ sustains the fact in science that the heavens and earth, to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. This shows unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicate states and stages of consciousness. Accompanying this scientific consciousness was another revelation, even the declaration from heaven, supreme harmony, that God, the divine principle of harmony, is ever with men, and they are his people. Thus, man was no longer regarded as a miserable sinner, but as the blessed child of God. Why? Because St. John's corporeal sense of the heavens and earth had vanished, and in place of this false sense was the spiritual sense, the subjective state by which he could see the new heaven and new earth, which involved the spiritual idea and consciousness of reality. This is scriptural authority for concluding that such a recognition of being is, and has been, possible to men in this present state of existence, that we can become conscious, here and now, of a cessation of death, sorrow, and pain. This is indeed a foretaste of absolute Christian science. Take heart, dear sufferer, for this reality of being will surely appear sometime and in some way. there will be no more pain, and all tears will be wiped away. When you read this, remember Jesus' words, "The kingdom of God is within you." This spiritual consciousness is therefore a present possibility.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 253. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. O'er waiting harp strings of the mind, there sweeps a strain, low, sad, and sweet, whose measures bind the power of pain, and wake a white-winged angel throng of thoughts, illumined by faith, and breathed in raptured song, with love perfumed. Hymn number 253.
Thank you. anything more to be said. If you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? It's my faithlessness that stings. I'm alone with my own being and the reality of things.
There is not an out there, for out there is within mind. So then what is this terrible foe? Tell me, how have I come to know something that can't be known? Brick by brick, imaginings, I'm alone with my own being and the reality of things.
Alone, but not a solitary being.
For insofar as all creation is one, there is no separation between me and all I see,
and nothing needs to be undone.
Give me clearer vision.
I know that you heard me,
that you and I are. One is love. Is there anything more to be said? If you ask your father for bread, will he give you a stone? It's my faithlessness that stings. I'm alone with my own being and the reality.
Let's now sing hymn number 85. God of truth, eternal good, lift our hearts to revelation, that thou mayst be understood, thou the rock of our salvation. All thy love we have for loving, all thy truth is ours for proving. Hymn number 85.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages for 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.